Well, good morning, everybody. How we doing? Boy, that was, no. That ain't going to do. How we doing? Good, there we go. All right. So for those of you that may not know me, my name is Corey, and I've had the privilege to grow up at Hales Chapel for a time, quite a bit of time, and then had the privilege to be on staff here for some time before departing to Vermont about 6 years ago. So greetings. If you don't know me, my Bible is not going to stay open, so I'm just going to leave it closed for a second. But so I greet you guys from Rivertown Church in Brattleboro, Vermont. If you do know us, you know that 6 years ago, many of you helped us pack a truck up out of the parsonage and roll north and to go see, Lord willing, a church start. And so I'm happy to report that in 6 years, the Lord has done it. Like the psalmist says, the Lord has done it. And so we're thrilled he's just surpassed our wildest ideas. You know, my hope, as I remember preparing to go, was if we could get 30, right? I mean, if we could get 30, that would be just a home run. And the Lord has done it. He's done 30. He's done 60. He's probably done more than that when you add in all the children and kind of folks that are in between. And not only has He just established a body, but He's moving in the hearts of people, and people are taking up their call and their identity as followers of Jesus, as disciple makers. And it's been some of the hardest things in our life that we've experienced in 6 years, and also some of the most phenomenal. That's just a little update. And you guys played a part through financial support, through prayer support, through suffering through with me as a young minister. And so you guys have played a role, and Hales Chapel has been a blessing in that way. Lloyd, how much camera space do I have, brother? Okay, because you know I'm a pacer. I'm seeing the camera guy move back and forth. I'm going to give somebody a dizzy spell. But so we're glad to be here this morning. The first time that I preached at Hales as we were coming on to staff was right here on this trailer. And you notice it's like a high point here. Everybody knows that. I knew that preparing. I didn't know that then. I knew that today. And so as soon as I opened my Bible, I guess probably 11 years ago or maybe 10 years ago, my paper notes fluttered down to the ground. And all of my notes, all of my references were laying there. And if you were here, you might remember, but Corey had to wing it. And so this time I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. If my iPad blows off, then we got bigger issues, right? But as I was preparing to come and to celebrate what God has done at Hales Chapel, the work that God has done over 100 years of ministry. I mean, that's incredible. But I also know that 2020 has thrown some massive curveballs. Obviously, everything that's going on with COVID, the fact that you guys are in the process of looking for a pastor, there are multiple circumstances that as a church you could look at and go, what is going on? And so as one that just knows a little bit of what is going on with you guys, and then obviously what's going on globally, the only thing that I could think to do was remind you, seek to serve you by reminder, as the writer of Hebrews says, by way of reminder, stirring up remembrance of what we have in Jesus. And that special that was just sung so beautifully, talks about the pardon for sin. And so I just, before we even pray, I just want everybody to just try to clear your minds of what you have after whatever happened before coming here this morning. Whatever is going on in the headlines, I'm begging you, we're going to pray to Jesus that He would clear our minds. And I want you to remember, if you are in Jesus, you have everything. Everything. That song reminded us of the sweet pardon that we have received in Jesus. And I'm just saying that we cannot look over that. We dare not, as the people of God, look over that. Yeah, Corey, I know that. I've known that since I was a child. Right, but don't miss it. You can know it and miss it. And I'm just saying, here today, I'm going to strive to uphold the Word of Jesus so that you cannot miss the glorious truth that we have in Jesus. All right, so let us pray and invite the Spirit to be among His people and to move in our hearts. Father, You are so kind. God, I confess how often I can go without thinking of You. But Lord, You are so good that even when I don't give thought to You, You have given thought to me. And not only have You given thought, but You pardoned our sins. That we have these weary lives and these weary roads that we travel, and in Jesus we are kept, we are held, we are loved. Your hand is on us. You have taken us from being enemies to being Your children, being family. And I pray, God, that today, that the people of Hales Chapel, as we celebrate homecoming, often homecoming is a looking back, but God, I want us to look forward in light of what we have in Jesus. My words are nothing. Holy Spirit, You must speak. And I pray that You would please come around the family of God under this pavilion. You'd encourage, that You'd stir up, that You would draw us all to repentance and greater belief and obedience. God, we pray for the next 100 years of Hales Chapel and the faithfulness being here at 39. Lord, would You move in power? We're asking You this. We're believing You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would open in your scriptures to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're coming. That's where we'll be. I'm going to have to hold this thing to keep the pages from blowing. Thankfully, my hair's parted in the right direction. The wind's keeping it down. Otherwise, it'd be a real problem. All right. So as we prepare to read the Scriptures, I want to remind you, in case you haven't been in 1 Peter recently, coming off of chapter 1, Peter, he's writing to the church that has been, they're exiles. They have been scattered. Many believe because of persecution, so they've left Jerusalem. They've left what is kind of known as the church, and they're living out in many other places. And so he's writing this letter. This was a circuit letter that would have gone from town to town, from fellowship to fellowship. And Peter's saying, hey, you guys, I know you're not at home right now, but I know that you're a stranger in a earthly land, but you're a stranger in this land, period, spiritually. And so he reminds them. I love how Peter does this, and we see Paul do it too. He's reminding the church of what they have in Jesus. And we can't forget that today. When we forget that, we live out in either disobedience. We live out in unbelief, anxiety. We go on trying to do things in our own ability. But when we recall, when we step back and we go to the Word and say, what did Jesus say about us? What did He accomplish for us at the cross? then we can it's like mounting up wings of eagles. Right? All of a sudden the words of the psalmist comes alive, because you understand that as we take refuge in Jesus, as we recall that we have everything we need in Him, then we are soaring even in the darkest valleys. In Him, He has us. And so Peter is reminding them that they've been born again, that they're no longer dead but alive, and that they have a living hope that will not perish. When everything around us is perishing, the people of God can stand resolute and say, we have a hope that does not perish. Amen? The world needs that hope, family. They need it. We need it. We need to be reminded of it so we can give it to them. And then he goes into this call for them to be holy. He quotes the scriptures that, be holy, for I am holy. Right? And so he's calling them to this life, that a life hidden in Jesus will be different than those around them. Remember, these are believers. Most of them may have been actually Jewish believers who are now living in Gentile cities and pagan cities. They are living in a place where being a follower of Jesus is not known. Where the people of God living according to His Word and obedience to following the way of Jesus look like lunatics to the lost world around them. Oh, Corey, that's old stuff. You know, that was a long time ago. Yeah, and it still applies to the church today. Well, Corey, everybody around here goes to church. Right, yeah, I know everybody around here goes to church. I get it. But guess what? There's a lot of folks along this highway and along the roads that you live on, a lot of folks that fill pews, that are still living as their own God. They have yet to believe on Jesus and fully die to themselves and be made alive in Christ. And so that we have work to do. And so as we look to homecoming, and as we remember what God has done in the past, and as we look to the future, what I long for us to see today in the Scriptures is what Jesus has made us as His church. All right, and so I got a couple of points that we're going to cover today. But the main one, the most, if you fall asleep or you pass out or you need to leave because of the bathroom, I want you to walk away with this truth. That Father God, listen to this, Father God has purposed the church, and specifically this church that's sitting under this pavilion. He has purposed you. He has purposed us to be a growing community built on Christ to display His glory and to proclaim His gospel. All right, let me say that again, just in case you missed it. That Father God, He has made us His people, His church, and He has commissioned us to be a growing community that is to be displaying His glory, right, in our lives and proclaiming His gospel in word and in deed. So, as you look at your circumstances as a church, as you look around you, I don't know what the circumstances other than you guys are looking for a pastor, but there's a whole lot of things that you can look at and go, oh man, if we could just go back, right? The glory days. If we could just go back, if we could just do this, and if we just had a pastor, then we would just be okay, and I'm just saying, hey, here's the thing. Circumstances come and go. You hear me? Circumstances come and go. But the truth of God's Word, it remains. And what we're going to see is that the church has been purposed. Hales Chapel has a purpose. You say, well, what is it, Corey? It is to be the people that God has called you to be, that He saved you to be, and to proclaim His gospel. So, let us start in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. He's coming off of calling them to holiness, conducting themselves with fear throughout your time of exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways He calls them, he says in verse 22 of chapter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. You've been born again. You're not who you were. I'm not who I was. We've been born again. And Peter is calling them that when you're born again, everything in your life changes. Your moral, your ethic, your priorities, your mission in life has changed. And so he jumps down to chapter 2, and he says this to the family, to the churches of exile and to the church of Hell's Chapel today. He says this, so put away, because of that's true, because I'm calling you to be holy, because Jesus changed you, because we are to be a distinctive people, demonstrating love to one another, because you've been born again. Put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, and like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So he's building, that's connected to verse 22 of chapter 1. But what Peter is saying is, family, put off. If you have tasted indeed that the Lord is good, like the psalmist says, if you have tasted that Jesus is good, then put off malice, put off evil, envy, slander, all these sins. And you notice these are all sins that are inward to one another, to those that are born again. So he's saying, hey church, knock it off. Put away this bickering, put away the slander where that's you're saying something untrue about somebody. Put away the malice, which is just hardness and evil towards others. Put away envy that would compare yourself to somebody else. He's calling them that if you've been born again, your life should be completely different. Right? And so as he says that to us, I think to myself, all right, this is an opportunity for the people of God to take inventory and say, how are we doing in this? Or have these particular sins that are really specific to the inner working of the family, like infighting. We all have natural families. We know what infighting looks like. And Peter's saying, hey, because you've been born again, put it off. And instead, what he says to them and what he encourages them, and I love this. This is a game changer. He says, like newborn infants longing for milk, we should be longing for spiritual growth in our salvation. Now, if you've got it all together and you know everything in the world, that notion sounds silly and ridiculous. You're telling a grown person to become like an infant. Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's telling established Christians to be like babies, because we don't have it figured out. And if he's saying that we should long for spiritual growth in our salvation, that this salvation that we have, guys, I think there might be money flying. He's saying that this salvation that we have, that we need to grow up into it. And the way that we do that is by staying humble, going like a little baby, going, man, I need more, I need more, I need more. So he's saying, put off malice, put off all these sins that ensnare us as a family, and we all need to be like little babies, yearning and longing for spiritual growth and maturity. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then he continues, without skipping a beat, he continues, and he begins to say this, listen, as you come to Him as a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. All right, so this is what's happening. That these first few verses were connected to chapter 1. They were talking about this holistic transformation as born again people of God. And then he goes right into their identity. So you've been born again, you've been changed. You are no longer an enemy. You are a son and a daughter of Jesus. Therefore, like living stones, he calls us. So the first thing that we're going to look at is that the church is built on Christ. The church is built on Christ. So Peter's reminding them of who they are and that they have this new identity as the people of God. And he says, remember that you have been built on Christ. Your foundation is Christ. But you notice how he describes Christ. He says that he is the living stone. A living stone that was rejected. But the people of God, we are built on a foundation of the living stone. Emphasis on living. We sang today about how he roared out like a lion coming out of the grave. That death could no longer hold him. And he came out victorious. He came out conquering sin and death. He is alive. And the reason that this is important is because the church is not just built on some willy-nilly foundation, but on the one, the exclusive, the only living stone, the Lord Jesus. We know from the Word of God that there's much that was prophesied about. Isaiah talks about, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm the one who laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. Listen, of a sure foundation. Gary, you're a builder. That foundation's not sure. Nothing is. The people of God. The church. When I say the church, I'm talking about every individual in here that has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The people of God. He's using temple language from the Old Testament, but what he's making is saying, hey, remember the Old Testament temple that was built up and was so glorious and demonstrated the glory of God? Well, guess what? In Jesus, the people are the temple. You've been filled with the Spirit and you are being built up to be the house and dwelling place of God, to display the glory of God like the massive and glorious physical temple did in the Old Testament. But see, this is the new covenant, and we are the people. We're the house of God. And he's saying, church, do not forget who you are. You're built, Miss Mary, you are built on the living stone. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And this is important. I emphasize living because it's the living life of Christ who died and resurrected that is the life of the church. It's who we are. It's what we build off of. It's the work that we do, the ministry that we do as Hales Chapel must be based on the living rock, the Lord Jesus. Must be based. How good is that? So you can take a deep breath. Guys, whatever's happening at Hales Chapel, whatever circumstances you guys have in business meetings or, you know, whatever the situation is, I just want to remind you, be encouraged. That at the end of the day, this faith family under this pavilion has been built on Jesus. And it's His life. It's His enabling. It's His power that allows us to do anything of significance for His kingdom. Do you hear that? It's not your organization. It's not your structure. It is the faithfulness of Jesus that enables us to be faithful. You hear that? And I pray, my goal is that you guys walk away from this as a people, as a church, and go, yes, this is who we are in Jesus. This is what we have been built on Christ. Let's move forward. Let's keep trucking. He is a living stone. And not only is He a living stone, but He's the true and only. He's the true and only stone. No other foundation is significant. And if a church attempts to build their foundation on something other than Jesus, they cease to be the church. You could say it this way. If you take and you knock out the Jesus from the foundation of a church and it stands, then it's standing on something other than Jesus. And so the charge here on Homecoming Sunday is that Hales Chapel continue to press in to the living stone. That you continue to abide in the living stone. That you continue to be empowered by the living stone. That you continue to herald the living stone up and down these highways. We have a sure foundation. We have a sure foundation. And it's nothing to sneeze at. It's the only thing that will last. The only thing. Secondly, Peter shows us, so the church is built on the living stone, and the church is built up with the people of God, or what he calls living stones. So you've got Christ, the rock, as our foundation, our sure foundation. And he reminds them that you, the people of God, are what builds up the dwelling place. So, just imagine whenever Hales Chapel started over 100 years ago. We got about 90-something years, but Rivertown Church in Brattleboro, I can remember 6 years ago before there was a single believer. We're just there because God has called us and nothing else. And now, 6 years later, I can look and see the lives that were changed and the living stones that were added up onto the wall of the dwelling place of God. And you know what they're doing is they're testifying to the world around them, whether it's a physical building or when you're at work or when you're at play or wherever you're at home, caring for your kids or the elderly, whatever you're doing, that living stones are testifying to who they are. The people of God. The people of God. And so, not only do we have a sure foundation, but we're actually, like, we're the temple. Everybody here that's in Jesus is a part of the temple. That's significant. This is a big deal. Because what that does is that shifts kind of that Old Testament thinking that we've got to go to a place and do a thing or a series of things on a certain day and week. And we actually get to actually be the church. Whether you're homeschooling your grandkids, right? Whether you're, whatever you're doing. So listen, what has happened? We've shifted from there being this physical temple that was the place known around the world as the presence of God to being a people called the temple, filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and commissioned to be a people on display proclaiming the gospel. So that means that we are gathered right now, and this is a beautiful, beautiful temple. But this temple, in a few minutes, depending on how long I go, y'all are going to leave this place, and the temple's going to scatter. And everywhere that blood-bought saints scatter from this place, the Spirit is with you. And our marching orders as the church apply. And I hope this is an encouragement. There may be a lot of things that you guys got to sort out. There may be a lot of... Cordu, how are we going to meet under a pavilion in February? I don't know. You guys are probably on Zoom before meeting out here. We might have to go back. Does it take away from who Jesus has made you as the church? It doesn't. It does not. Does it take away from the fellowship and the ability to be together physically and to encourage and to stir one another up to greater belief? Yeah, it becomes harder. It does. But those circumstances don't change what the Word of God says about us. Do you hear that? That's the theme of this sermon. That's the theme that my heart's cry for you guys is that circumstances do not change the Word of God. You can take that to the bank. You, as a church, you guys can actually, you can cling to that and go, you know what? We got more questions than answers, and I understand that. But the one thing that we got is what Jesus has said about you as the people of God. He's called you a living stone. That you yourselves are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. That word there is oikos. So picture that it's like an extended family, what's represented right here. Many of you are related, many of you are not related. But in Jesus, you have been given a family. You have been saved from sin, and you have been saved to a family. And that family has a local expression right here amongst these people in this room. So the Big C Church that we know about has a local expression in Little C churches. And you guys are the expression here. That means as Paul tells us, you're ambassadors right here. And what's an ambassador do? Speaks on the behalf of the king. We have been called to be ambassadors. So we're living stones. So this is our identity, that we're not just active or we're not just passive observers, but we are the ministers. This text helps us understand this idea of the priesthood of saints. Now, we don't use the word priest a whole lot, but what that means is that every believer is a minister. You guys remember hearing me teach to probably nauseam about reducing the distance between the pew and the pulpit, right? It, like mobilizing the church, that every believer take up their mantle of ministry and making disciples, multiplying yourself and calling others to Jesus. And Peter, he's reminding the churches that are spread out and they're away from their home church. He's saying, remember, you have been built on the living stone, and you yourselves are living stones being built up into this large extended family, where all the familial rules apply. Romans, the love chapter, everything that applies to this extended oikos, this family. He tells us that we have a mission. So not only does he tell us who we are, that we've been built on the rock, that we are living stones, but that we are a family or a familial community. Ephesians, Paul teases this out in Ephesians 2, one of my favorite passages, because it makes things so clear for us as the people of God. Listen, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer aliens, but you are citizens. Spiritual citizens, kingdom citizens, with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Himself being the cornerstone. So Paul, he's pulling in that language that Jesus is our living rock, in whom the whole structure, the temple of God, is being joined together, grows into a holy temple to the Lord, and in Him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God has purposed every one of you. He has saved you, and that wasn't by accident. And He doesn't just save you and leave you. He saves you from sin, He saves you to a family, and He saves you with a missionary call, a Great Commission call. And so, every individual person that has experienced salvation has those things. And then what happens in God's infinite glory and design is He doesn't just... I mean, just imagine the 100 people that are here, just all trying to be one-man teams. But He saves you guys to one another, to go out in ones and twos, to go out as a congregation, to go out as a small group, to thrust out missionaries to a new neighborhood. You're buying a house, you're now a commissioned missionary in that neighborhood. Well, Corey, we got all these questions at Hales Chapel. We're not sure what's moving forward. Hey, has your calling changed? That's the question. Has our calling changed? Do circumstances change what the Word of God says about us? The answer is no. So be encouraged. Be encouraged that the Lord Jesus, man, He's so good. And He loves you guys. And here's the thing. He loves this area more than you do. He loves your lost neighbors more than you do. And He has seen fit that lost neighbor live next door to Mike. He's called us. He saved us to a family. And lastly, I want you to understand that this family, He goes on, He lists out, I'll just read it just so you understand. You guys know this is one of my favorite passages. He calls this family a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim My excellencies. Of who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. You have been born again. That life in Christ changes everything. You have been built. You've been gathered and built on the Lord Jesus, our living rock. And you yourselves are living stones being put up on the wall. You know what I see a lot right now in the larger church is a lot of people trying to knock stones out. I don't agree with them, or they I can't believe they'd vote for this person, or and we're taking sledgehammers to the foundation of the temple of God. What in the world? We got to go back to the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2 where He says love. Love one another and put away all this malice and this deceit and all this infighting, and remember who you are. You've been built on the Christ. Not only have you been built on it, but you are a part of the work. And thirdly and finally, the church is built for gospel proclamation. So we're built on Christ, we're built up by the people of God, and we're built for gospel proclamation. Your life as a believer, what Peter's saying is that when you've been born again, your entire life changes, and what that does is that sets you apart from your lost relative, your lost neighbor, your lost coworker, your lost schoolmate. That in itself is a witness. That's a testimony. But He says, so He tells us that we proclaim in two ways. One, there in verse 5, He says that we're to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual and acceptable sacrifice. Now, What comes to my mind when I think about a sacrifice is flopping up some animal and giving it to the Lord. Right? We know that animal dies. That life is given as a sacrifice. Romans helps us understand that this picture is that the people of God are laying themselves down as acceptable living sacrifices. Every day, flopping yourself onto the altar. Every day, dying to yourself, dying to your desires, dying to the things that you like, and saying, Lord Jesus, You have me. You do with You what You want with me. You're the potter and I'm the clay. So He tells us that we proclaim by daily offering sacrifices. Me and you. Not, you don't get like a proxy, right? You don't get to throw somebody else up. Throw yourself up every day. Commit yourself to the Lord every day. And then secondly, the way that we, this ministry of proclamation is the church constantly giving themselves to the Lord Jesus, individually and corporately. Imagine what would happen if everybody in this room got serious about laying yourself down to the Lord Jesus on a daily basis. Like every day going, Lord, this is, here I am. Here is everything I have in my hands. Here is my location. Here is my finances. Here is my relationships, my vocation, my family. You do with what You want with me. Imagine what that would look like. But secondly, He tells us, that royal priesthood, this holy nation that we've been saved to be, are to be proclaiming His excellencies. If you have been saved from darkness and been brought into marvelous light. He's saying you better proclaim it. With everything you've got, you proclaim it. From the rooftops, in your business dealings, in the way that you parent, in the way that you're married, in the way that you're married, in the way that you participate in the comings and goings of the church, in the way that you operate, you testify that you have been saved from darkness to marvelous light. What does that look like, Corey? Well, it can look like a lot of things, but it is taking opportunities to speak the goodness of Jesus. It may be a small moment. It may be just an exchange at a register. It could be an ongoing relationship with a neighbor who is very far from Jesus. And you're serving them, maybe lending tools, maybe they're serving you in some capacity, you're having them for dinner, but you are praying for them and you are speaking the gospel, you are demonstrating the gospel as often as you can in front of them. So Corey, we got to land this. How do we do this? How do we do this? How does Hell's Chapel do this? How does Rivertown, how does any church do this? First of all, we just have to go right. You don't need an extra book. Extra books are helpful, but you don't need an extra one. You actually just go right back to this one. And we do what we did today. We go and learn and relearn and re-preach what it says that Jesus did and what He says about us. Over and over and over again. We're at a crossroads, Corey. We're not sure where we're going. We're not sure if, you know, these circumstances are up in the air. Fine. That's okay. Seek counsel. Seek godly wisdom. But go to the Word and say, what does He say about us as a church? And Peter tells us that you've been born again. That you've been saved to a family that's built on Jesus to proclaim His excellencies. And so, I'd love for us to spend some time in prayer. Seeking the Lord. Individually, right? Because there's individual responsibilities in this text. To put off things, to be spiritual infants longing for milk, and to be an active participant in the kingdom of God. Which means giving yourself to a local congregation, which means actually participating in the ministry corporately and individually. So there's individual response that's needed here, but there's also corporate response. You guys are the people of God right here. How are we doing? Take inventory. Are we believing these things about ourselves? Do we actually function like Jesus is our rock? Or are we scrambling like we don't have a rock? Do we actually function like every believer is a minister? Or are we just sitting dead in the water waiting for a minister? Now, you guys have had a phenomenal interim. So, I'm not speaking about that, but I'm saying, I know, I was with you guys for a long time. When we were without a senior pastor. I know the angst that is. But we got a calling as the people of God. He gives the shepherds, praise the Lord. But guess what? We have the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. And so in times of uncertainty, and where circumstances are reeling, we go back. And we believe and preach to ourselves what He has said about us. Because of Jesus, because you've been born again, you've been saved to the family of God. You're the people of God. And you have a mission. You have a mission. And so my hope, and this is what my prayer will be, is that there, all of us right now, I mean, work is more complicated, school's more complicated, church is more complicated, everything's complicated. But one of the sweetest things you can do is sift all that stuff aside. Move it all aside. And get down to the root of who you are in Jesus and what He has called you to do and what He's promised He would do through His people. Those are promises. Like take them to the bank, put your life on the line for them. Promises that we need to lay hands on, take a hold of, and truly operate out of. So let us pray. Guys, it's so good to be here. It's a joy. I just entrust this whole thing to the Spirit to move. But I want us to pray. I want to pray for you guys that the Word would sift, the Spirit would move, and that we would all be challenged to walk in step with what the Word has said. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You are our King. You brought us in as rebels, as ones that were wagging our fists at Your face, and You called us from death into life. You redeemed our souls. And we're here going, bless Your name, praise Your name for Your goodness. Lord, we praise You for Your wonderful design and plan forming the church to be the conduit for Your kingdom. Oh God, I pray right now for Hell's Chapel. Lord, we celebrate all that You've done over the years. And Lord, we look forward with anticipation going, Lord, make us a conduit, flow through us. Use us. Put us on display. Do what You need to do to receive glory and honor in this neighborhood, in this stretch of the highway, in these across these fields, Lord, but all the way to the nations. Use this family to live for Your purposes, to display Your glory and proclaim Your gospel. And God, would Your kingdom become visible? God, I pray for individuals in the room. There, God, would You, Holy Spirit, comb them by the Word that You have proclaimed. Comb them. Remind them of their identity, who they are in Jesus, and the role and responsibility that You have kindly and graciously called them into. And Lord, would we take up the mantle? And I pray corporately for the fellowship. Lord, encourage them in the name of Jesus. But I pray that You would help them to give thought to You, Lord, because we know that You are the one who builds the house. Lord, that You're the one who establishes the work. And so I just pray corporately, Lord, that in the midst of a lot of different circumstances, globally and locally, God, that You would please just have Your hand on them. Lord, give them wisdom to move forward. Holy Spirit, lead and guide in what may seem like miraculous ways. Lord, as they search for a pastor, Lord, but as this church right now continues to seek how they can be used in this moment, in this season, on this day, for Your glory and Your kingdom's sake. Lord, would You give Hell's Chapel another 100 years plus of seeking and serving and making Your name great locally and globally? God, we love You and we trust You. In Jesus' good name, amen. Thank y'all very much.